Well, hi diddly ho, neighbor.
You're listening to Hypocritical, a podcast by Hypocritic GG. I'm Lucem, call me Cheatspeak, and this is another kind of knee-jerk, reactionary episode of the podcast because as of my recording this right now, the prices and the kind of release logistics for the Steam Machine were just announced. So there is a lot to talk about, there's a lot to dig into, and there's a big referendum in here somewhere on the state of gaming as a hobby and as an industry in mid-2026. So we are going to hop right in and discuss all of it. For those who are not in the loop necessarily, the Steam Machine is basically Valve's attempt to consoleify the PC gaming experience and the Steam experience along with it. It brings their dedicated Steam OS and the Steam PC gaming ecosystem to the living room in a standalone product, which is essentially just a pre-built PC in a nice little form factor. But it's a cube-shaped and very upgradable piece of hardware that is basically, in form and dimensions, a taller GameCube. It's the Gabe Cube, if you will. I saw that term going around relative to Gabe Newell of Valve fame, and I thought that was really cute. It's fun. There is a very real and significant barrier to entry for people who are interested in the world of PC gaming. And Steam in general. You know, there's a lot of challenge for the layperson, let's say, in buying, in building, in maintaining, and ultimately housing a PC, especially a dedicated gaming PC, as well as the occasionally higher levels of technical ability that are required to dial everything in and get things running smoothly. There is a massive contingent of the gaming population out there who just want to sit down and have everything work and have their games just appear before them without any sort of dialing in that they need to do. And that is a completely valid and appropriate way to want to experience your games. That's completely fair. And so the Steam Machine is aiming to streamline that more complex and less plug-and-play PC experience for console and household and more casual players. So on the surface, it is a brilliant and it's a very sensible idea. In some cases, as we've especially seen with handheld PCs, it is to some degree where the industry is heading. Now that the device has been in people's hands and it's revving up for release and there's a lot more documented sort of evidence of how it works, we're sort of getting an idea of what to expect. According to Digital Foundry, who is, you know, they're one of our go-to outlets for a lot of this sort of information and analysis, they're great. Performance is essentially, in their words, at or around the level of a, quote, baseline entry-level gaming PC, unquote. And in practice, it has more or less functional parity with the base PS5, in some cases performing a bit worse, in some cases performing a bit better, but not to a significant degree on either side. So that gives you a level, kind of a level set on what to expect performance-wise. We won't go into all the specs, we won't go into exactly what's in the box. You can look that up if you're interested. The real sticking point is going to be the price, as is so often the case nowadays, because it is unquestionably and almost unreasonably high, all things considered. It is $1,049 for the base model of Steam Machine with 512 gigabytes of internal SSD storage. That was pretty eyebrow raising. I think for many of us who were following this product across, you know, its stages of development, we were hoping and had fingers crossed for a much lower price point. We knew it was going to happen, you know, component inflation and the inability to get parts. We knew that this sort of thing was coming, but it's still kind of striking to see it in such concrete terms. There is a higher tiered option with 2 terabytes of onboard SSD storage that retails for $1,349. Again, basically $1,350 US. That's nuts. Most interestingly, maybe these base and core configurations of the Steam Machine don't include a controller. Can you imagine a home console coming to you without a controller? The Steam controller is not included with either of these models, but SKUs exist with a controller bundled in for $80 more. In practice, you can kind of argue, well, the target audience of this probably has other controllers, Switch Pro controllers, Xbox, PS5, whatever. But still, to not package a controller with what is ostensibly a console replacement or console-level product is pretty nuts. Including one in that high-end model pushes the price of this Steam Machine too close to $1,500 US dollars. That is pretty jaw-dropping for a console equivalent or console caliber device. So some initial sort of reactions and thoughts from our perspective really are entirely based around the price, and I think fairly so, because the value proposition here, no matter how you slice it, is really incredibly poor, especially if you're considering this more of a console, which we are. If you were to do some comparisons for especially mini PCs, like mini ITXs or mini ATXs or whatever they're called, you see a little bit more of a price comparison there, and it's a little more on par with how that market works. But this is really positioned as a console and as that living room experience, right? And to that end, it is wildly uncompetitive on price. Part of this is because it is intentionally unsubsidized on Valve's end. You may or may not know that companies like Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft tend to, maybe not Nintendo, but Microsoft and Sony certainly have in the past subsidized the cost of their hardware to get, you know, user numbers out there pumped up in the marketplace so that they make more margin on software, which obviously sells in greater quantities the more boxes you have out there. Valve is not taking this approach. They've, you know, posted long diatribes online of why this is the case. You can agree with it, you can disagree with it, but they're not going after console pricing despite skewing this as a kind of console replacement, and it shows. For comparison here, the PS5 currently, even, you know, in June 2026, where the price of these things seemingly changes by the week, it's currently $600 for the optical driveless digital edition, $650 for the standard disc edition, both coming with 1 terabyte of SSD storage in there. The PS5 Pro, the upgraded version, is currently $900 US with a 2 terabyte SSD in there. So for comparison, if you're just going apples to apples, and for, you know, completeness here, the Xbox Series X prices for both the digital and disc editions match the base PS5, with the 2 terabyte special edition going for $800 US without any spec bumps to kind of match the Pro, to my knowledge. When you compare apples to apples here, the PS5 is nearly half the price with comparable performance and more onboard storage out of the box than the Steam Machine, the PS5 Pro, which dramatically outpaces it in performance with 4 times the storage, is at least $150 less with a controller included. That is bonkers to me. And again, it really speaks to what a sad, sad state the industry is in at the moment. But you compare them as legitimate console competitors in the console space, and there truly is no contest. You may have a much deeper gaming library on the Steam Machine, or at least access to one, and if anything, that's the major selling point for this thing in comparison. But the libraries on both the Xbox and PS5s are also very deep by now, and there's a lot of overlap there. So who does this actually appeal to? That's where the thought process naturally sort of comes down. If it's so limited out of the box in terms of performance, and it is so expensive, and it requires additional accessories just to kind of properly control out of the box, if for some reason you don't have a controller or a mouse and keyboard or whatever, who is going after this? Well, there's a lot of groups you can cross off the list to start. That's, you know, PC players primarily, or PC first players will probably have very little to no interest in this sort of thing. Despite it being very user upgradable and customizable, generally PC players want to build their own setups. They want to have full control over their ecosystem, and they prefer having that kind of dedicated play space where their PC is set up instead of going to the living room to play their games or using the bedroom TV to play things. As we said, the price point for the Steam Machine matches some custom-built hardware in the PC realm in many respects. So again, you're just kind of shaving off layers of that experience that the PC player wants, and you're not getting a whole lot in return for it. So there's not a lot of appeal there from our perspective. There's also not a lot of appeal for console players, who are often more budget conscious and used to the lower financial barrier to entry relative to PCs to just get in and play the games they want to play and start building up their libraries. Speaking of, they simply may not have the Steam library built up to justify the purchase of something like the Steam Machine, nor will they want to jump through the, you know, compatibility, settings, and usability hoops that SteamOS still requires. The fact is that despite the impressive work that's been done to sort of streamline a lot of that Steam experience to make SteamOS, you know, as frictionless as possible, things like the Steam Deck in our experience are still too kind of finicky and unrefined for some to really get the full pick-up-and-play value out of them. That said, there are reports now of many games having a sort of defined or the ability to have a defined Steam Machine preset, much like the Steam Deck does or other handheld PCs of that ilk. So does that mitigate the friction to some extent? Possibly. In our opinion, the target audience is somewhere in the middle. It's less enthusiast PC players or PC first players who want that more frictionless 10-foot living room experience, or console first players who happen to have a built-up Steam library for whatever reason, and the desire to move that library to their living room and have access to it in higher fidelity than they might on their lower powered laptops or, you know, outdated PCs that maybe they built 5-10 years ago that aren't really keeping up with the rest of the marketplace. With that in mind, and from a consumer's perspective, I am, in many ways, the ideal target customer for something like the Steam Machine, because this checks every box that I would have for wanting to have a product like this. I have neither the desire nor space to build or rebuild a dedicated gaming PC. I used to have one, you know, many years ago. I built it, I believe, in 2016 or 2017. It's still sitting, you know, probably in my family's house somewhere. And I don't really have the setup or the desire to build around it or any other PC again. I do have a built-up Steam library. I have a lot of games in there that I've built up over, you know, 15 years plus. And it would be great, even though I have, you know, we've had Steam Decks, we have a Legion Go S as I speak to you right now, that's great. And being able to just sort of dock it on the TV is nice. But again, there's friction there. Having the ability to just have that dedicated standalone box with access to all of these games that we can play at higher fidelity because it performs essentially like a PS5 is fantastic. And on paper, I love it. In practice, I want no part of it. And it's entirely because of the price. Again, speaks to what a rough, rough state this industry is in right now. While nothing in the industry at this point in time will be a quote-unquote easy pickup for most, you know, even a Switch 2 at a $500 price point when the, you know, gameless model gets hiked up in September, I believe, or whatever it's currently set at. Whatever the case is, a $500 price point is not an impulse buy. And those are the most affordable pieces of hardware you're going to find, short of like the Xbox Series S digital edition, right? That's maybe $400 right now. A Switch 1, I'm not sure. $500 is a tough line for some. More than that is even harder to swallow. Crossing that $1,000 threshold for a device like this, even one that would be your primary or your only gaming device, will simply be a non-starter for a lot of people, either on principle because they don't like the way that this industry is trending, or as a matter of practicality because they simply can't afford it. I love the idea of the Steam Machine. I think it's wonderful. I think it's really pushing the industry forward in interesting ways. It's a creative way to leverage the love and the powerful ecosystem Valve has had for a long time. And I would happily pick one up at the right price. If this was $600, $700, $800 even, maybe, as I'm sure it was planned to be at some point, this would be a great pickup. But this is not the right price. This is not the right time. And it is, in my mind, impossible to recommend. So that kind of boils down to the fact that at a macro level, the Steam Machine is a great idea that has been forced into a terrible position through basically no fault of Valve's, you know, all sorts of things they can't control. Component pricing in general, with the AI rush, with so much shortage of, you know, RAM and available component parts broadly, it's pushed this, along with the entire rest of the market, they are not alone in this, into expensive and borderline unattainable territory for most. Component prices have skyrocketed, inflation continues to climb, wages, broadly, not to become an economist, are not keeping up. So that pushes people's budgets and constrains them ever more, obviously, right? So it's unattainable, especially for those that have, you know, underdeveloped Steam libraries or no Steam library at all. If you don't have a bunch of games that you're throwing onto this to start, are you really going to want to start from scratch on unproven hardware from Valve at over $1,000 that you may have to also buy a controller for separately? I wouldn't. Would you? It is so supply constrained, as it turns out, we'll talk about this a little bit, that Valve has implemented a lottery system for purchases. And the expectation is that they cannot satisfy initial demand, low as it may be, until well into 2027 as we record this, which is also just crazy. Again, speaks to how challenging it is to manufacture and release hardware in the current sort of economic situation. And it's so interesting that it, you know, it's great to combat scalpers and bots and the like, so I'm not necessarily complaining about it. But isn't it just so wild that we kind of treat now console hardware the same way we treat like collectible trading card game drops and like new sets of a TCG where there has to be a lottery so people can get access to product fairly? It's really striking. Valve as a company is likely so sunk cost strapped on this, where they've spent so much on R&D, they've spent so much money doing the legwork to bring this thing to market in the first place, they probably stand to lose even more money by further delaying its release than just selling the limited quantities they're able to make at extreme prices. If they were to try to kick the can 12, 18, 24 months down the road and hope that the component shortage kind of works itself out, A, that's not a guarantee, so they're taking a huge risk, and B, you know, they, again, stand to lose potentially even more money because now they're getting even farther behind specs-wise. They're probably not going to go in and redesign the stuff and have to put new chips in it that they can't source. It's tough. It's a crappy situation all around, and nobody really wins. Customers pay more for the units they are able to get their hands on. Valve sells fewer units than I'm sure they want to, simply because they can't make any of them. And product ambitions, especially for this segment of the market, are throttled because it is, again, a great idea that's been forced into a terrible position. It is mainstream appeal funneled into an unattainable niche device. And that's just the reality of it. Early reports that we've seen floating around the internet, don't take this as gospel, suggest that there's maybe as few as 10,000 units available for initial purchase, which is absolutely insane. The biggest console flops in history across the 40, 50 years of video games existing as a medium have moved more than 10,000 units on launch. It's insane to think about. And it sets a very concerning precedent for future hardware from any company. And unfortunately, we're going to have to kind of leave it on a dour note, a sour and dour note. With new, recently, again, as we record this, new Xbox CEO Asha Sharma had voiced significant concerns about console availability and affordability going forward, especially for next generation devices that don't necessarily have the economies of scale or the built up supply that something like the Xbox Series consoles or the PS5 Pro, Nintendo Switch 2s do. When you look forward in time, it kind of paints a bleak picture, right? With the Steam Machine as a possible precedent, we're either looking at more predatory pricing models for consoles, you know, rent to own 24, 36 month contracts with Game Pass bundled in, how we used to buy our cell phones, maybe to cover $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 price points. I have no idea how high it's going to go. Or MSRPs like that are so high out of the box, they're going to make the Steam Machine look like a good deal in 2 or 3 years' time. Yikes. Maybe we leave it at that. What are your thoughts on all of this? Are you interested in the Steam Machine now that you know the prices, with how difficult it's going to be to get your hands on? Was this on your radar at all? Your opinions on the general kind of state of the industry and how we as consumers and players need to reckon with the brave new world that we have to shoulder, whether or not we want to. Let us know in our Discord, everywhere that we exist on social media. Give us your thoughts. HypocriticGG, hypocritic.gg, that is. It's your hub for all things Hypocritic. Check out our live streams, convention coverage, video reviews, industry interviews, and more. And join our Discord community, where you can react to topics we discuss here on the podcast and get the inside scoop on what's coming next from us. Thanks so much for listening. Stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll catch you back here real soon.